Greetings, my Kardec radio friends, from the voice of Alan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here today to take you on another audio journey through The Spirits Book by Alan Kardec. Today's journey covers questions 258 to 262, and it is all about the choice of trials.
Enjoy.
Question 258. While in the errant state and before a new corporeal existence, does a spirit have the awareness and foresight of what will happen to it during its new lifetime?
The spirit itself chooses the kinds of trials it will undergo. Its free will consists in doing so.
Subquestion 258. Then it is not God who imposes the tribulations of life on it as a chastisement.
Nothing happens without God's permission, because it was God who established all the laws that govern the universe. You may as well ask why God made such and such a law instead of some other one. In giving a spirit freedom of choice, God leaves to it the entire responsibility for its acts and their consequences. Nothing stands in the way of its future. The path of the good or the path of evil is an open choice. If the spirit succumbs to its trials, there is still the consolation that not everything is lost, because God, out of divine goodness, allows it to start over where it failed. It is necessary to distinguish between what is the work of God's will and what is the work of human will. If a danger threatens you, it is not you who have created it, but God. However, you have willingly exposed yourself to it because you saw it as a way to advance, and God has allowed it to happen.
Question 259. If our spirit chooses the kinds of trials it will undergo, are all the tribulations of life therefore foreseen and chosen by us?
Not all of them, because it cannot be said that you have chosen and foreseen everything that happens to you in the world, not even the smallest things. You have chosen the kinds of trials. The details are consequences of the position you have chosen, and frequently of your own actions. If a spirit has been born among evildoers, for example, it already knew what kind of temptations it would face, but it did not know how it would act in any given situation. Its actions are the products of its violation or free will. In choosing a particular path, a spirit knows it will have to endure the struggles that arise thereon, and it knows the nature of the tribulations it will encounter, but it does not know what events await it. The details spring from the circumstances and the force of things. Only the major events that will influence its destiny are foreseen. If you walk down a path full of ruts, you know you must be very cautious, because you run the risk of tripping. But you do not know when you will trip, and maybe you will not trip at all if you are sufficiently on your guard. If you are walking down the sidewalk and a tile falls on your head, you must not think that it was written beforehand, as it is commonly said.
Question 260. Why would a spirit want to be born among evildoers?
It has to be sent into the environment in which it can experience its requested trial. To this end, it must find an analogous situation. For example, in order to struggle against the instincts of thievery, it must dwell among thieves.
Subquestion 260. If there were no longer any evil individuals on earth, would spirits not be able to find the necessary conditions for certain trials?
And would that be something to regret? This is what happens on highly evolved worlds, where evil has no access. Thus, only good spirits dwell on them. Use all your efforts to ensure that the same happens as soon as possible on your Earth.
Question 261. In the trials it has to undergo to reach perfection, must a spirit experience every type of temptation possible? In other words, will it have to go through all the circumstances that can trigger pride, jealousy, greed, lust, etc.?
Of course not. You should be aware of the fact that there are those who, from the beginning, have taken a road that has spared them many trials. But those who allow themselves to be led along the evil road risk all its dangers. For instance, a spirit may ask for wealth, and it will be given. Then, depending on its character, it may become greedy or wasteful, selfish or generous, or it may indulge in all the pleasures of sensuality. This, however, does not mean that it had to succumb to all those tendencies.
Question 262. How can a spirit, who at its origin is simple, ignorant, and inexperienced, consciously choose an existence and be responsible for its choices?
God compensates for its inexperience by outlining the path it should follow, as you do for a child from birth. However, as the spirit's free will develops, God gradually leaves it the freedom to choose its own way. It is at this point that the spirit will choose the wrong path if it does not listen to the advice of good spirits. This is what we may call the fall of man.
Sub-question 262. When a spirit enjoys its free will, does the choice of its next corporeal existence always depend solely on its own volition, or can it be imposed on the spirit by God's will as an expiation?
God knows how to wait. God never hastens expiation. Nevertheless, God can impose a certain existence on a spirit when, due to its impurity or ill will, it is not capable of determining what would be most useful. And when God sees that such an existence could serve for its purification and advancement, and, at the same time, its expiation.